Welcome to The Lob, your home of in-depth coverage and analysis by These Football Times, a movement of journalism you can trust. Each week, we endeavour to bring you the very best coverage of the game, exploring stories from the past and present with analysis by expert guests from around the world. Find more of our award-winning content online and in print. In the meantime, enjoy the podcast.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Lob podcast from These Football Times. I'm Gary Thacker, and with the European Championships on the horizon for the summer, across the coming weeks, I'll be chatting for half an hour or so with a number of members of the TFT team as they recount their memories of past championships, and we look forward to the 2024 tournament. Today, we welcome back our technical wizard, Mr. Dave Bowler, for another chat and another memory about the European Championships in the past. Welcome back, Dave.
Nice to be here, Gary.
Good stuff. Okay, so let's, as they say, let's get the ball out and have a kick around. What's your memory going to talk about today, buddy?
Well, this one is not a game per se. It is literally a moment. It's Stuart Pearce's penalty against Spain in 1996 when he exercised every demon that must have been eating away at him for 6 years and scored his penalty and celebrated like it was 1996.
yeah, a classic moment. And you know, if anybody who's seen that, you know, either live or on tape, and the sort of fist pumping, screaming celebration of Pearce afterwards, you know, is, you know, you see people put a penalty away and put up the shoot at these days and stroll back nonchalantly, like, yeah, it's nothing, Tiger. But this guy, he meant that, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely, he did. You could feel 6 years of it, you know, and all the stick he'd had to take, and all the, I dare say, sleepless nights he'd been through ever since missing that penalty in the World Cup in 1990. You could see every moment of that going through his body as he put that one in the back of the net and then celebrated. I mean, you know, it was. I think Stuart Pearce, he's always been a kind of a likeable figure within the game. I think, you know, people have always taken to him. I mean, one of those art on his sleeve type footballers, and always thoroughly committed and all of that. And I think, you know, it was one of those moments where everybody was delighted for him that he'd scored. Not, you know, beyond the context of obviously winning helping win the game for England and all of that. I think everybody felt his pain and felt that relief. Because, I mean, God, can you imagine if he'd missed another one and Spain had won it? I mean, it takes something to step up again for England in that white heat and all that pressure and volunteer to say, yeah. I mean, yeah, let's face it, when Terry Venables is asking for who wants to take one, it'd be very easy for him to
stand at the back.
At the back of the queue. I've done this once, thanks. I'm not doing it again.
Yeah. For anybody who doesn't know the relevance, what we're talking about, you know, the redemption for Pearce, well, tell us why it was such a big thing for him. I mean, obviously, it's a big thing for England anyway, but, you know, I mean, particularly for Pearce, why it was, as you mentioned, that six-year wait.
It all goes back to the World Cup, Italia 90. England in the semi-finals against, it was still West Germany then, wasn't it? Going through all the way through to the penalty shootout. And of course, when it comes down to it, Stuart Pearce is one of the ones that misses, along with Chris Waddle, and England once again failed to get to a World Cup final. You know, he's led away, inconsolable, in tears, which again, for a fellow like Stuart Pearce, seems a particularly terrible summer, because, you know, you can't think of Stuart Pearce being hewn from granite rather than, you know, being flesh and blood kind of thing. For him to be emotional like that, you know, you kind of see what it means. And then England didn't get to the World Cup in 94. And then finally there's this tournament in 1996, which he appears to be missing because Graham Lassau has replaced him as the England left-back. Graham Lassau gets injured, I think, in the November-December time before it. You know, I think he broke his leg, if I remember rightly. And Stuart Pearce is ushered back into the fray. England come through the group. They play Spain in the quarterfinal. And there we are in front of an expectant nation, a packed Wembley. England probably a bit lucky to get the penalties, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
In Spain. And then it's, you know, it's penalty kicks to go into the semi-final. And as I say, you know, having gone through that once and missed, you would be perfectly understanding if Stuart Pearce says, no, I don't fancy this. Thanks very much. I'll keep out the road. But number three, and bang, in it goes. And then there's, you know, that celebration. I mean, that captured everything, didn't it? It was front page of newspapers and that kind of stuff. It's that sort of iconic moment.
Yeah, it's interesting, I suppose. You know, you see a lot of players take penalties, and especially in shootouts, and you know they'll miss one, and they'll just sort of look a bit down hearty, but can brush it off, I guess. And you know, because penalty shootouts aren't that unusual these days. You know, they'd be within domestic cup competitions as well as, you know, international tournaments. But I don't think Stuart Pearce is the kind of guy who would sort of, I'd say not care, because everybody cares, but have that ability to sort of put it behind you, as it were, when he carried that badge for a long time, didn't he?
You would think the nature of Stuart Pearce, and, you know, the fact that he's a leader, you know, whether it was with Nottingham Forest or whether it was with England, you'd think that'd be something that would eat away at him for, you know, forevermore kind of thing. It's just one of those stains on the record that, you know, you can't get rid of. He'd be the kind of character that would feel the pain of the nation. He did let the country down, that kind of stuff. And as you say, you know, nowadays penalty shootouts are 10 a penny. I mean, they're happening all the while, aren't they? You know, the way the game's changed and the format it's changed to. Those days, it was still a very unusual thing, really. And so somebody who missed, it was, everybody knew, you know, and it was remembered because it was a long time before you had another one. And that just sort of sat there forevermore kind of thing. So the opportunity to put it right, I would have thought would have been fantastic. But I mean, the idea of walking from the centre circle to put the ball on the spot. Funny, I mean, I spoke to Paul Devlin, who played for Birmingham City a few weeks ago.
Paul Devlin.
I talked to him about the playoff final when Blues went up in 2002. And he was saying to me, I mean, he took penalties all his life. He was a good penalty taker. And he said to me, it was my turn. I walked from the centre circle to the penalty spot. And all I could think all the way there was, oh, God. Don't let this go wrong. Don't let this go wrong. Don't let this go wrong. And I would have thought you'd double that with Stuart Pearce, having actually had it go wrong before. And there he is sort of coming up to take this kick. The pressure on that is just immense. I mean, eased slightly by the fact that Spain had already missed one. But equally, if he misses it, Spain are back in it. And it, you know, every chance of it being levelled up. So enormous pressure on it. And I don't know about you, but as I've got older, I've kind of become less interested in football per se and more interested in what it tells you about characters and about stories and about people. The game itself, I mean, I can't remember a single thing about the game really, except England weren't particularly good and Spain was slightly better. But, you know, what it tells you about Stuart Pearce's character, that he was willing to grab hold of that football and stick it in the back of the net. Now, that's interesting to me. And that's become much more what I watch football for these days than anything else, really.
That's a fair comment, Dave. Yeah, I guess you know. Obviously, this is the Euro '96 tournament, as you mentioned. It's 30 years since England won the World Cup. They're back at Wembley, playing all the games at Wembley again, and you know, Pearce scores his penalty to redemption, and everything's going well, and you know, the Three Lions and football's coming home, and then we're going to go in and win this, and then it didn't quite happen, did it? And penalties.
Yeah, and then Gareth Southgate's the one who took over. So.
Yeah.
No,
it got a Peter advert out of it, I suppose.
That's true. Yeah. All the Peter he could eat, and to be fair, it didn't harm Gareth Southgate's career too much in the end. So, no. I mean, it's a very sort of mixed thing that 1996 Euros. A bit like Stephen, I'm a bit of an England agnostic, in as much as I really dislike the jingoistic aspect that comes in, particularly with the media, particularly with the tabloids, whenever England are playing. And yeah, this was all after this game. It was the Achtung surrender thing on the front page. Was it the Mirror? I think it was, and all of that stuff. And I find it difficult to back England in the wholehearted kind of way because of all of that. I think I find that a bit, you know, unpleasant. But at the same time, you know, this moment for Stuart Pearce, you know, you could all feel what it meant to him. And ultimately, what it meant to England as well, and that kind of washed away a lot of those elements. That's what sport does. It sort of shines a light on people's character in extreme moments without them having to shoot at one another. I mean, Orwell, in a sense, was. I mean, he wasn't being particularly complimentary when he said it's war without the shooting, football. But I mean, it is really. I mean, it is that. You are representing your country. It is in extremis. It is in those moments. And thankfully, nobody gets shot at. But, you know, I mean, it does tell you that same sort of thing about people's character. You know, this is the ultimate test. I was watching the penalties last night, preparation for it. David Platt takes the one before. The run-up David Platt takes for it. He's like Michael Holden coming in at the hole. I mean, he goes virtually to the centre circle. I wonder where he's going. But Stuart Pearce has none of that nonsense. He's about 5 yards and he bludgeons the thing into the bottom corner.
Yeah. Not much of a sophistication of his approach to taking penalties, I suppose. It's interesting you mentioned, because the game was pretty flat, really. It wasn't a great game. And Spain, you know, were probably slightly the better team on the thing. But so did you watch this live, Dave? Do you remember watching it live?
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, it was a little bit after the Lord Mayor's Show, because England had been so good in the game against the Dutch to come through and qualify. You often get that, don't you, when a team's played really, really well the next game. They can't quite rouse the same thing. And yeah, it was a bright, sunny day at Wembley. The place was packed and all of that. And the game just didn't deliver anything. But, I mean, I suppose as Gary Lineker's always on about, you know, let's just get to the penalties in that case. And I think that was how it was in this game. You know, it was, let's get it over and done with, really. Because it's not a game that anybody will remember a great deal about with any affection. But that penalty shootout brings all that drama. I'm not a great fan of penalty shootouts, to be perfectly honest. But occasionally they do deliver something really, really memorable. And this was one of those examples, I think.
Yeah, I think the penalty shootout is sort of, it's almost for TV, and it is like adding, you know, it's like the cliffhanger at the end of a series of Coronation Street. Or, I mean, I don't know, Coronation Street never has an end of a series thing, but you know what I mean. It's one of those sort of cliffhanger things and the drama, and, you know, it's less to do with their football and more to do with that shootout at the OK Corral.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, when your previous selection, you selected the Germany victory over England in 72, which sort of, I think it was described as a wake up and smell the coffee moment. I mean, this was slightly different, I guess. So why did you choose this moment? You mentioned about characters and footballs. I suppose that, did that have something to do with it particularly?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it is that iconography, that celebration, Stuart Pearce. But, you know, the compelling thing to me, that the storyline is just a footballer having the nerve to confront what must have been 6 years' worth of demons. I mean, yeah, you wouldn't be human if you didn't get a bed every now and again and wake up in a cold sweat having missed that penalty yet again against West Germany to miss out on the World Cup final and all of that. And then there's even more pressure in this game because it's at home. After the Dutch win, everybody's expecting England to go on and win the Euros. It's huge, you know, the entire country's behind it again. It's building again, all of that stuff. And there's even, you know, you're at home, and when you're playing in Italy in 1990, at least you're slightly insulated from all of that.
True.
I mean, back in those days, and nowadays, of course, with mobile phones and the internet, you'd be far less insulated. But back then, you could cut yourself off. But, you know, here he is, right in the white heat of Wembley Stadium, in front of everybody, in front of 20 odd million or whatever it is watching on television, and you've got to deliver, knowing that you've failed once before. I mean, I think that is just fantastic tribute to his character to do that. And then it's one of those things that to me is more interesting about football now than the game. It's what it says about people. It's what it says about individuals. And it says a hell of a lot about Stuart Pearce.
Indeed. It's interesting you mentioned about the David Platt penalty before. I mean, I remember the Pearce penalty. You know, really well, I should say it's a massively iconic moment, but I cannot remember any of the other penalties at all. Yeah. I mean, not even the one that sealed it, the win in the end, which is normally sort of emotional one, but I don't remember it.
It's the routine stuff. I mean, you know, Alan Shearer whacks it into the top one. I'm only telling you this because I watched it yesterday. Alan Shearer whacks one into the top corner in typical Alan Shearer fashion, normal, wheels away in celebration. David Platt goes back to the centre circle, runs the marathon and scores. And Paul Gascoigne scores what is ultimately the winning penalty. And David Seaman saves a second Spanish penalty to finish it off. But, no, I mean, it's all prosaic stuff, really, in penalty shootout terms. It's that moment of redemption that really captures it and really elevates it into something else. And, in its way, it's that way that Ronis Meikle sort of staggers off the bench in complete door when Van Basten scores the goal. It's that sort of a moment, you know, in a different kind of way. But it's those, you know, I mean, in the decade series at the end, Stephen always asks for what's your abiding memory of that year or whatever? And those are the sorts of things, those are the pictures that you could sum up in your head now, aren't they? You know,
yeah.
If I ask you about Ryan Smeagol's 1988, you can see that now, can't you? You know, you can see Stuart Pearce's penalty now. Those are those. The flashbulb goes off, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, just about the significance of it. I mean, it's one of those things when that goes and you're thinking, you know, as you say, okay, this is great. Now England are going to win the European Championship on a home turf. Everything's going well. Venables is sort of being fated as a hero. And yet this is almost that penalty goes in, and when then Gascoigne scores and Seaman saves the second penalty and they're through. It's almost like the zenith. It's not a path, because after that it's defeat against the Germans on penalties. And so, and you know, and then Venables gets the EVA because the FA don't like anybody who doesn't wear the correct tie and speak with the right accent or something, or never patted a small puppy on the head and it's nice to his grandmother, and you know, and I don't know. It just seems, you know, that its significance was so massive at the time, but in the longer term, you look back and you know, it was just the sort of start of another disappointment, wasn't it? I suppose.
Well, it wouldn't be England if it didn't end up in a cock up, would it?
That's true. Of course.
And, you know, there is something about the English thing that, you know, the near misses. We talk more about this and we talk more about 1990. And I suppose in years to come, we shall talk more about the last Euros and the penalties and whatever than we ever do about 1966, because I think that's something about the English character, which may be has maybe changed a bit, but, you know, I think it's still there. The glorious failure, there's something in the national psyche that likes the glorious failure more than it does the actual going on and winning something. It should have been a beginning of something more impressive, and perhaps it could have been, you know, in 1998. I mean, Glenn Hoddle still played decent football at that point, and obviously the Argentina game, the Beckham sending off, blah, blah, blah. That World Cup might have ended in something better. Had that not happened, I don't know. But it just fits into England somehow. That's what we do.
And yet, winning a penalty shootout, I suppose, almost doesn't. You know, we mentioned 1990, the World Cup, and England playing West Germany. And if we'd beat West Germany on penalty, you know, in the penalty shootout, which is a flip of the coin, or arguably a flip of the coin sort of thing, you know, you've got to fancy to at least do well against a depleted Argentina. And then obviously the last Euros, penalty shootout against Italy to win the damn thing. And fell short again. So penalty shootouts, when it really matters, when it really gets to the crucial part rather than a quarter final, that team still seems to be an Achilles heel for England, doesn't it? Perhaps we'll get Pearce back to take all the penalties for England.
That might be the answer. 20 years' time, he'll be there on a Zimmer frame still knocking in penalties.
My money still be on Pearce to put it in the net, mate. That left foot, still be there.
I don't know. England, I mean, they do have a generally terrible record on penalties. Back in our day, in the dim and distant, it was, oh, well, England don't produce technical footballers the way that they do in South America or Europe. But, I mean, the academy system should have taken care of that. There are plenty of good technical footballers in the England team now, and there have been for quite some time. I suppose in the end, it's more a question of, it's more a test of your character, it's more a test of your mentality. And I do think that's an area where we are still lacking, in a sense. I mean, this is a very difficult area to talk about, because, you know, I think all the stuff about mental health and well-being is really important. I think that's vitally important. But equally, you know, I do think a lot of academies are very soft in terms of, in the finish, it doesn't matter how you want to slice it, in the finish, you're on your own in front of 20,000 people, 50,000 people, 90,000 people. Now, can you perform? And there has to be something in your mentality to be able to do that. And particularly when it comes to a penalty shootout, because then there's only you in that rectangle in front of you. That's all that there is. And you've got to have that mental strength to be able to go and do it. Now, however mentally strong you are, occasionally you're going to miss a penalty. Goalkeeper's going to guess right, or you don't quite catch it properly, or whatever. But by and large, it is about mental strength, and I wonder about the mental strength that we breed in our players. And I don't know what the answer to that is at all. And I do think that the mental health and well-being thing is very, very important. But when you keep losing penalty shootouts, you have to think there's a reason behind it, and I think by and large, a lot of the foreign countries that we come up against are mentally stronger than our players are.
It's a really good point, Dave. You know, you mentioned, I mean, actually scoring from 12 yards, theoretically, shouldn't be that difficult. The keeper can't come off his line to kick the ball. And, you know, and I mean, I'm sure you're right. And I was going to sort of ask this question, but you sort of preempted it anyway, saying, you know, is it more a test of character than it is a test of ability? You know, and I think you're absolutely right that it is. But I just wonder, you know, in a game, when it's, you know, penalties and, you know, even you go through the VAR rigmarole, and you go and take the penalty, you put the ball on the spot, you take it back, and away you go. In a penalty shootout, you've got that 50-yard walk first. And the demons, as you mentioned about Paul Devlin, you know, the demons dancing in your head. Stuart Pearce picked him up and kicked him out of the stadium, you know, so he was fine. But a lot of people, you know, must have that. I remember I was read in Didier Drogba's autobiography about the winning penalty in 2012 against Bayern at Bayern Stadium. And he said all the way through walking to the to take the penalty, he was going to Panenka it. And he changed his mind at the last minute. I mean, so, you know, and then there you go. And he buried it. Who knows if he hadn't, he wouldn't have buried it anyway. But that sort of, there's got to be that doubt. And when you've got sort of 50-yard walk and you are the sole focus of attention of millions of people and watching TV and in the stands around the ground and your teammates and the opposition and the goalkeepers, you know, I mean, if the goalkeeper saves on his hero, if he gets past him, you know, it's only his fault. But for the player taking the penalty, it must be a nightmare.
I can't, you know, it must be like the condemned man taking the final walk, mustn't it?
Yeah.
You're not going to fall through a trapdoor, but it must. It is the single greatest test of anybody's character that football's ever come up with, I think. I mean, in that sense, penalty shootouts are brilliant. As I said, I'm an old traditionist. I'll be replaying forever. nine World Cup final replays. But you know, I think it is the test of your character, as you say. It's such a different thing from in the game. That walk, that has to be, because you've got to be thinking, you've got to have a very, very strong character to say, right, I'm going to put this one into the bottom corner to his left and carry on with that all the way that you walk there. And don't think about anything else. That's exactly what I'm going to do. That's all I'm going to do. You know, I mean, some managers never practice penalty shootouts, are they, before these tournaments?
That's right.
Some religiously do it every day. I mean, I don't know. I suppose the idea that if you just get into a rhythm and that's what you do all the time makes it easier. Yes, I guess it must do. But as you say, with a full stadium, countless millions, billions probably watching on television in some games, holding that thing. I don't know how they actually managed to run up and kick the ball at all, frankly. You know, I mean, your legs would just go, wouldn't they?
Yeah. It's interesting. I can't remember who it was. And I can't remember if it was a club manager or an international manager. But a while back, one manager asked the crowd at a game, I think it must have been a club game, to stay. And
yes.
He got his players practicing penalty. Because you can't, in a training ground, you know, you can't recreate that atmosphere. It's just ridiculous. But to ask the crowd to try and get some kind of realism into the practice. But even then, in your mind, you know, it's not the same thing. And it's just totally unique situation, isn't it?
I think it was a league club, wasn't it, coming into the playoffs? I can't remember who it was either, but I do remember the story. But no, it is not that same pressure, because if you miss, you miss.
So what? Doesn't matter.
Whereas if you miss in the real thing, people are going to remember you forever. You know, I mean, we are still talking about Chris Waddle. We are still talking about Stuart Pearce, even though, you know, he finally put it to rights. We are, you know, we do still talk about David Batty. Whoever it is, you know, your club, whichever club you have, if they've lost a penalty shootout, you know, you still talk about whoever it was who ballooned it into the stand.
Yeah, I mean, my club lost two cup finals last season on penalties, and two cup finals on penalties, and bloody hell. Anyway, there we go. So, yeah, okay, so that was great. I was just looking forward to it, Dave. Obviously, the Euros are up and running in the summer. So, question, are the Euros as big as the World Cup, or are they getting there?
They're getting there, I think. So, I mean, yeah, certainly I've never been anywhere near it, really, until the last probably 10, 12 years. And again, that's television. You know, the explosion of television has changed it. Obviously, the changes in Eastern Europe with more countries after the breakup of the Soviet Union has changed things. And that's, I think that's livened it up a little bit, because we get we get a wider cross section of countries and people involved. I think that always makes it interesting. I mean, I'm looking forward to this one because it's a little bit more back to normal. You know, obviously the last one was affected by COVID.
Sure, yeah.
And then it was that idea about playing it all across Europe, which I think when somebody had the idea, I can see what they were thinking. Oh, it'll be a proper celebration of football. But in reality, it's a complete dog's breakfast, wasn't it? I mean, it was a disaster. Yeah, having this in Germany, where everybody is in the same country, within a relatively small concentrated area, I think gives it a proper tournament feel. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to being back to that sort of proper tournament. And even when it's shared, you know, the shared tournament that we've had before, it's still a bit bitter to me. That's why I'm not wildly enthralled about the next World Cup either, because I think it takes a lot away from, you know, from that concentration. And when it's in one country, it gives it a certain flavour, whatever that flavour is from each tournament to the next. It gives it a certain character and a certain style. So I think you know, there's a lot of positives going into this year. I'm not a fan of the fact that it's such a bloated tournament, and you know, you spend the first 2 weeks really just waiting for it to get started, but that's how it is these days. But you know, I think as a tournament, it's got a lot of things going for it this year.
Good stuff, mate. Good stuff. Okay, Dave. Thanks for that, matey. Thanks for giving us another memory, mate, and lots to chat about. Much appreciated, Dave.
Always a pleasure. Nice to bring us into the colour television era.
Well done, chap. So that completes this stroll down memory lane. Many thanks to Dave for sharing his thoughts with us. Catch us again next time when I'll be chatting with another member of the TFT team about their recollection of the European Championships. Cheers. Bye.
Many thanks for joining us today on The Lob, a These Football Times production. For more of our content, check out our award-winning print magazine featuring some of the game's foremost writers, artists and photographers, exploring areas of the game rarely covered in high-end print. For now, we look forward to you joining us again soon.